this is. If she can't have peace, she'll have war on her terms. A Star Wars prequel trilogy fanfic, written by Alex and read by...
X-Men Hater.
Fets on Top.
God of Laundry Baskets.
Is Sweden.
Yubzy.
And Rena Jenkins. This story is rated G and is Jen, with additional tags for minor Padme Amidala Jango Fett, podcasts of the galaxy far, far away, alternate universe, originally posted on Tumblr, politics, POV, outsider. Summary. A transcribed episode of a podcast existing in an alternate version of the galaxy far, far away. By now, the story is well known. 3 years before the fall of the Republic, at the very heart of it on Coruscant, one human woman stood up and said, "Enough." That woman was Senator Padme Amidala, and as she couldn't get peace, she presented war, but on her terms.
I am Senator Amidala of Naboo and the Chamal Sector.
This is the Galactic History Podcast. I'm Pacta Arena. This is episode 63 of season 7, part 2 of many of our recurrent series on the Clone Wars. In part 1, that can be found in episode 52 of this season, we talked about the Separatist Confederacy movement, its roots, and its leaders. With part 2, this episode, we'll dwell closer to the heart of the so-called Old Republic, which always gets a little strange, as the term Old Republic is used for both the Galactic Republic pre-Russian Reformation and for the Republic in place at the time of the Clone Wars. But so, the heart of the Republic, the Galactic Senate on Coruscant. Imagine this massive chamber, decked in a color no culture represented, associated with death, famine, or mourning. And in it, thousands of representatives, divided by sectors and planets, orbiting around one central point, the Chancellor's seat. The hollow pictures we have cannot possibly do it justice. The court of law here on Alderaan was built to mimic the Galactic Senate, and it is ridiculously big. And 100 times smaller than its inspiration. The Chancellor's seat might have been the central point, but the focus, especially in the latter years, was Padme Amidala.
Amidala, I was hoping to ask you to take the position and to represent Naboo and the surrounding worlds of the Chamal Sector in the Senate.
Padme Amidala was the senator of the Chamal Sector and Naboo. Prior to her appointment as senator by the Queen-elect of Naboo, she had been the Queen-elect herself for 2 terms. She saw war then, even if it wasn't named as such at the time. The highly controversial embargo and invasion of Naboo by the Trade Federation 10 years prior to the events she is best known for was ended when the Gungan army faced the battle droids of the Federation. The very same droids that would be the marching feet of the Separatists. While Naboo royal pilots attacked the blockade in space. The queen herself, and a handful of Naboo Sec forces and Jedi, took the fight to Theed to capture the then-viceroy of the Trade Federation and put a stop to the illegal actions. The invasion was ended, the blockade dismantled, and the Naboo citizens who had been put in camps by the invaders were freed. The whereabouts of many Naboo citizens is, to this day, still unknown. The term war for those actions was never discussed. The Trade Federation faced negligible penalties for the ones they could be convicted of in the courts. The Senate pushed the whole thing under a rug to better forget it. Padme Amidala did not forget.
It's a dangerous mistake to believe that she was the only one seeing this and demanding answers.
And this is Kurnak Asantep, historian at the University of Aldera II, specializing in the turning point from the Republic to the Clone Wars.
Senator Amidala became a polarizing figure very fast. She had been a queen-elect. She had numerous connections through years of political life. She came on as a protege of the chancellor through their previous political acquaintance, as he had been the senator of the Chomel sector during the start of her term. But she certainly did not settle in that position and let things happen.
The list of Amidala's political allies is long, and jumps both temporary parties and galactic sectors. Many of the names of her acquaintances went on to show up in the higher levels of the post-war government, or in war chants.
The very ability to have conversations with senator and political members from all sides and groups is what makes her the perfect focus of the growing restlessness following the declaration of the Confederacy. At this time, all that was needed was one pebble moving down to start an avalanche.
And what a pebble. What an avalanche.
Galactic City, Coruscant. The skies over the Naboo Embassy were filled with flames, debris, and tragedy when Senator Padme Amidala's cruiser was destroyed in a massive explosion. According to SATCAM footage, as the Naboo cruiser touched down on its hovering multi-lobe landing pad, escorted by three Naboo N1 starfighters, an explosion tore through the gleaming silvery craft, hurling debris destroyed an accompanying fighter. At least seven people were believed killed in the blast. Holonet News, Volume 531, 56.
Really, the turning point was the attempted assassination before a bill for the creation of the army, presented as the missing judiciary arm of the Republic, was set to be presented to the Senate and voted on. Senator Amidala was vocal in her refusal in that bill and gathered the support of a lot of like-minded senators in what she justly saw as a menace to the stability of the Republic and the complete betrayal of the values they were supposed to uphold. The attempted assassination only deferred the vote, but what happened next made it simply moot.
There are few accounts of the days after. All that is certain is that Jedi Knight Obi-Wan Kenobi and his Padawan Anakin Skywalker were assigned as bodyguards to the senator. And if those names sound familiar, well, remember that Amidala's allies were not destined to stay in the shadows. Ami Amidala was the target of a second assassination attempt on Coruscant. For her safety, it was decided she would return to Naboo. While Skywalker left Coruscant with the Senator, Kenobi tracked the would-be assassin to the previously unknown or forgotten, and dare I say, deliberately forgotten. It is a point of debate in academic circles. World of Kamino, where he discovered cloning facilities that had been creating, according to the Kaminoan cloners, an army for the Republic. Of the one or ones who put things in motion, nothing. Rumors abounded, and a persistent one pointed to the Jedi, under the pressure of Finis Valorum, the previous Chancellor. To the great surprise of the Republic, however, the 500,000 cloned human men who were ready to be deployed refused to take oath to serve the Galactic Republic once off-world, and rallied under the banner of the Mandalore in exile, Jango Fett.
I am Jango Fett, elected Mandalore, and I do not recognize the authority of Duchess Satine Kryze over the Mandalore system and its government.
To everyone's surprise, Senator Amidala supported the troops' claim and Mandalore in exile, Jango Fett. A surprise, until it became clear that Fett and Amidala were allies, and had been for quite some time, had seen some of the changes coming to the Republic, and planned for them.
There is very little of the communications between Amidala and Fett remaining. The only people, other than them, that we for sure know were aware of the full scope of their operations were the both of them, Boba Fett, just a child at the time, Wolf of the Wolfpack clan, and Rex and Cody of Kenobi clan. Everyone else is left to suppositions and educated guesses based on a timeline that is not always clear. Given the level of secrecy involved, it's amazing that we have a timeline at all. Even the public events Amidala was present at have been distorted through politics and propaganda, to say nothing of her own body doubles and manipulations.
The Senate, as can be expected, descended into chaos. Threats against Amidala, Fett, and the troops mounted, while the public opinion moved back and forth between seeing the new independent army as one more threat, an act of war to incite the Confederacy towards violence, and a violation of sentient rights, as full-body cloning, especially to this extent, was illegal in the Republic. The fractures within the very fabric of the Republic were never more obvious than at this time. And so we come to the better known part of this story. In front of a Senate descended into name-calling and ineffectual politicking, Senator Padme Amidala, at the head of the Loyalist Committee, representing over 2,000 sectors, spoke these words.
It is our opinion that the instability and uselessness of our government has its source in this very room. The Republic we swore to uphold does not exist anymore. As such, the Loyalist Committee, representing 2,386 sectors of the Galactic Republic, demands the dissolution of the current government. Failing that, we can only conclude that this page of the history of the galaxy is done, and that our only possible course of action is our complete withdrawal from the Galactic Republic.
reaction of the Republic was to arrest every member of the Loyalist Committee. Or to attempt to. Many had sent their non-essential personnel off-planet, and many routes off Coruscant remained open due to curiously timed electrical errors. Amidala herself evaded arrest in plain sight of both Coruscant guards and the media. And it is speculated that the man in clone trooper armor by her side was none other than Jango Fett in disguise. A few minutes after her speech and escape off-planet, hundreds of files and documents exposing the dealings and backroom deals of senators using the trapping of their offices as a way to clean all manner of illegal and immoral dealings hit the HoloNet and the broadcast stations of dozens of well-known media outlets.
A lot more happened than merely one woman evading capture after a speech. She exposed the rotting floorboards of the government, and all manner of bugs were left to scurry. The situation within the Jedi Temple, and who followed and agreed with her declaration, also had far-reaching consequences that just politics, with all the caveats that entails, should have had. All in all, it made a shaky situation unbearable. And to keep face, the Republic could do nothing but to declare war to the Confederacy, and to the Loyalist Committee, who renamed itself in the few hours after the speech, the Alliance.
We interrupt this broadcast with this urgent message. Production, importation, transportation is now banned.
Topping the news today, in less than 24 hours, there
and
was
anybody
panic
caught will face severe penalties.
From law enforcement officers are still at large and
wanted. We are the Alliance. We are the Alliance.
Is one of the several people investigated.
One of the suspects is a female in her early 20s or late teens with...
We are the Alliance.
Want to talk to and that he could not be called a suspect at this time.
We'll bring you more about this throughout the day as it progresses.
We are the Alliance.
The Galactic History Podcast is made possible by the endorsement of the Society of Alderaan for the Arts and History, the Alliance Fund for Historical Research, and the generosity of our patrons across the galaxy. Thank you, and see you in our next episode.
The end.
Author's notes. Written for Morgan Larry. A long time ago, 2 years and 8 months ago, if you want to get technical, Morgan Larry prompted Padme, "If she can't have peace, she'll have war on her terms," over on Tumblr. Originally intended to be part of a series. The bits and pieces are not event compliant with each other anymore. Time to release it into the wild. Reader's notes. This podfic was recorded for Warp Warp as part of the Summer Podfic Swap 2021. And I kind of circled a couple different projects initially because I wasn't sure. Like, we clicked on a lot of levels on your Dear Podficker letter, which we should have. It's been a while. But I couldn't quite find the right story. And then at like T-minus 2 weeks and counting till due date, I remembered that I had this story in my to-do later list and that Alex had blanket permission to podfic. And I kind of did a scrambling Avengers Assemble type moment. So thank you incredibly and ridiculously and above and beyond to X-Man Hater, God of Laundry Baskets, Sweden, Yubzy, and Feds on Top for your timely and time-manageful responses in a way that I did not manage my time well. I'm submitting it on time. But also, this was not my initial projected what I thought was going to happen. And I waffled and wasted a lot of my summer podfic swap time until deciding on this one last minute. I had such a fun time putting this together, though. The original text has a handful of, like, things in brackets to describe what the podcast might have sounded like without actually, like, transcribing what those sounds are. Brief extract from speech, militaristic music as background, or stuff like transition music, or extract from Amidala's endorsement speech. So finding the bits that I wanted to, like the actual sound clips, was basically a scavenger hunt of the internet in a way that just actually gave me great joy. And now for the deep dive of why these things are fun and relevant. So Padme's endorsement speech is actually a one-line quote from Queen Rey Alada, who is new canon, I guess. She's not, when the prequels came out, canon compliant, and she's not when the Clone Wars TV show canon compliant. She is canon to Queen's Shadow by E.K. Johnston, and she's the one, according to this novel, who is new, and I don't know much about her, but she's the one who nominates Padme to be the senator, rather than Queen Jamilia or, you know, who people that we previously knew from canon. So finding that section of Queen's Shadow as a relevant, specific to this moment story bit that could be quoted, delightful. And then another example, in the text it says, brief audio extract from news, something about an explosion, another voice giving a death toll. Instead, there is a transcript of the Holonet News Volume 531-56, which was a promotional podcast / website tie-in with the prequel movies that had sort of in-universe, here's what the Holonet News would be reporting, here's like in-universe ads and in-universe like political drama for planets outside of Coruscant that went on for several years, actually, and there are a couple actual podcasts, like news broadcasts, that were made. But this particular one was just a transcript of what the news broadcast would have said. So Yubzy putting that sort of 1920s Avatar Legend of Korra kind of imagine the mic and the sepia tone of it all just was beautiful. And finding that transcript to be the exact news broadcast, oh, I gave myself a high five for that. And then the other thing that gave me exceeding great joy is the brief jingle-like interlude singing resembling a Mandalorian war chant, where I pulled a couple of the Mandalore from the Republic Commando, I guess OST, several of the songs that are used in that video game in-universe are songs or or Mando War Chants taught by Jango Fett to the first batch, the alpha batch of clone troopers on Kamino. And like this in-universe bit where he changed some of the words to be like, oh yeah, these are definitely more Jedi pro and more Republic pro. But with this idea that in this new universe of the story that we're, you just listened to, he never changed the language and in fact instilled additional pro-Mandalorian sentiment into his clones. So it gave me great joy. The two songs used in this were Kote Darasum and Carta Tor, which is the bit that, as it's leading up to Jango Fett's one speaking line, is Kote Darasum. And, like, being like, oh, okay, I don't have to try to write or sing or fake compose a Mando war chant. I can just use the ones that have already existed and plug those right in. Just, yeah, finding the little bits that fit this universe to bring it even more fully fleshed as a auditory experience was really cool. I don't know that I'd do it again. But it was pretty cool to do all the clips and stuff. And I also had a really fun time putting together the last bit at the end, the We Are the Alliance chant. I actually asked people, pretend you're at a, what is it? What did I say? Chanted or repeated a couple times like you're at a political protest, because I wanted it to sound like a rallying thing. So overlaying those different sounds and making them all fit together. Yeah, I think it came out okay. And then on the other end of things, in the slightly more polished post-production end of things, I modeled my podcast voice. I wanted it to sound different than my regular Podfig voice and also different from my actual voice. I listened to the Crime Junkie episode, Serial Killer, The Cleveland Strangler. Because I don't listen to a lot of podcasts, but my youngest sister and my dad, whenever they do road trips, they listen to Crime Junkie episodes. So that's like the only one I could really think of as a thing. Whether or not I actually modulated my vocal patterns to mimic what you hear on that particular style and listening experience, I don't know, but I did listen to a little bit of that. I also, and I'm actually very proud of this, the Podfic cover art for this, the image that you see, is supposed to be the in-universe logo for the Galactic History podcast. Again, semi-vaguely inspired by the Crime Junkie logo on that as well. Because, and this is the cool part, if you transpose the letters GHP for Galactic History Podcast into Audibesh, the letters Grek, Herf, and Pef, GHP, Herf, the shape of Herf, the H letter, is three lines and they kind of form a vaguely hourglass shape, like the pinch of an hourglass. And I was like, okay, so this is a overall history podcast. What are good history-related images or infographics? And in a universe that doesn't use paper, having a book is a terrible plan, so an hourglass. In a universe that doesn't really use clocks, but like sand still falls, so using an hourglass as the main image in the background, and then having the letters sort of form that wide, skinny, wide shape over it. I was very proud of myself for that because graphic design is not my passion. Then I realized, though, that the font that I had used had all of the letters backwards. And of course, I realized that 4 days before this is due, so I had to go back in and flip everything around and redo the cover art so that the text actually was facing the right way, because I don't care if anybody else cared. I would know that I'd written the letters backwards. Audibesh by Pixel Sagas. I appreciate the work you did, but also every single letter is backwards in that font, and it frustrates me to no end. But yes, I'm very proud of that, that it looks like, it could look like the still you would see on your in-universe iPod while listening to an episode of the Galactic History Podcast. So, yeah, I guess I had a lot more things I wanted to talk about this than the actual, yeah, we're at like half the length of the actual podcast right now. But, Warp Warp, I think this meets the character studies, world building, experimental podfic SFX and weird editing, and then also potentially anarchist themes because they are literally overthrowing part of their own government to form a new one off of your list of things you were interested in as a podfic. And Alex, thank you so much for writing this because basically, since I recorded Queen's Gambit, this idea of Padme Amidala as a, I don't want to go to war, but if you push me, I will fuck you up because I will dig in and I will hold fast to my convictions. Yeah. Yeah, she lives in my heart rent free. So thank you to everyone who contributed a voice for this. Thank you to the mods of Summer Podfic Swap 2021. And thank you, listener, for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Have a nice day.